Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us from Atlanta with a homily entitled, Good News?
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out, In the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There are really two ways to understand the meaning of a scripture passage, says the liberation theologian John Sobrino. One is to go into the library and dig all through the commentaries on the text, learn what those who studied ancient languages and ancient cultures have discovered. And the other, Sobrino says, is to sit alongside those who were the very first hearers of the message. Sit alongside the Anawim, or the little ones of the earth, as they hear the scripture read and see what they get from it. Because it's the little ones of the earth to whom these words were first spoken. And their modern-day counterparts will always be able to give us clues into what God was trying to say. It's been my privilege to get to spend a lot of time in libraries in my life. And I'm so grateful for the chance to do that. But it's been even more my privilege to get to sit alongside children, quite literally the little ones of the earth, for the past 25 years now as a catechist, and read scripture with them and hear what they have to say about it. One of my most memorable experiences doing so involved today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah. A voice cries out, In the desert, in the wasteland, build a highway for God. Now, this particular year, I had a crew of 6 and 7 year olds who must have been raised on a steady diet of Bob the Builder, because I tell you, they were on top of all the construction scene imagery, and they had lots to tell me about bulldozers and asphalt. Why a highway? I asked. Why not just an ordinary road? Because God wants to be able to come fast, they said. On highways, there's no stop signs. You can go really quickly. I pointed out, though, that the land on which God was telling the people to build a highway does not seem to have been an easy land in which to accomplish this task. It was rough terrain, filled with mountains and valleys, and these are an obstacle to speed. In order for God to come quickly, the valleys would need to be filled in and the mountains would need to be laid low. Do you think that Isaiah is talking about building a real highway here, I said. Is he talking about real mountains and real valleys? And I should say that even at this age, children have a great capacity for reading symbols. No, one readily replied. The mountains are obstacles that keep us from being able to see God. You know, like things that distract us. And the valleys are like problems that we can't seem to get out of. Another child said, I think he's talking about the people of the whole earth. Now, some people live in valleys where it's dark all of the time, and they will have to be lifted up. And some people live on mountains, and they'll have to come down so that everyone lives on a plain. I thought again about the words of Father John Sobrino, writing from Latin America. The gospel's not good news for everybody, he says. It really is only good news for the poor. In other words, those who live in valleys. And for those of us who live on mountains, those of us who already have a great view? Is it enough to lift up others without making any changes in our own lives? For me, the question has become not so much, how do I live poverty so that I can be among those lifted up? But how do I live at plain level? In essence, how do I live at a level that if all the people of the world lived as I did, the earth could sustain it? Pope Francis talked about that this last week in his address to the 84,000 people gathered from almost every country on earth in Dubai for the United Nations COP28 conference on climate change. The climate crisis, he said, and this is a quote, "It's not the fault of the poor, since the almost half of our world that is more needy is responsible for scarcely 10% of toxic emissions." The problem, he suggested, is that, and again, here are his exact words, "the gap between the opulent few and the masses of the poor has never been so abysmal." Yikes. Could that be true? Yes. Recent statistics from the University of Michigan Center for Sustainable Systems noted that if everyone on Earth lived at the current level of consumption of natural resources that we currently enjoy in the United States, it would take 5 planet Earth to sustain our lifestyle. That's not plain living. Another way of looking at it, in the United States, we're about 4% of the global population, but we consume about 16 to 18% of the world's annual energy supply. That's not plain living. Embracing plain living would mean some real changes in my life, and mine, more than most of you out there, because I'm on track to have flown 75,000 miles on Delta in 2023 alone. I have a dreadful carbon footprint, and I know it. Is this prophecy from Isaiah that we read today really good news for me? Is it good news for you? This was the question that I asked the children. And unlike John Sobrino, they answered with a definite yes. But why? Why, I asked them, because this is really going to mess with the terrain. Really, it's going to mess with my life. Because then God will be able to come faster down this kind of road, said one of the 7-year-olds. And another chimed in, because then, like Isaiah says, everyone will get to see God's light together. There's so much more joy that way. And Isaiah says, "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken."